Welcome to Manager Tools. Trinity Pushback, Feedback is Nitpicking, Part 2. This cast answers these questions. What do I say when people say, sooner and smaller, feedback is nitpicking? Is using the Manager Tools feedback model nitpicking? Should I be worried about pushback on the feedback model? Well, if you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Here we go.
A longtime listener of our guidance once shared with us the comment that, I just do this stuff and people like me. It's like numbers for people. If you've ever struggled with relationship building, you're not alone. And we know that your struggles are not for lack of trying. If you knew how to fix them, you'd have done that already. And it's not uncommon for the more task-focused of us to struggle in this area. Join us at an Effective Manager and or Effective Communicator Conference so we can share with you our formula for building better relationships. Register now at manager-tools.com/training.
All right, Mark, last week we talked about why the Manager Tools feedback model is different. And by the way, folks, if you haven't heard that, you may want to go back to the last podcast and listen before continuing on. Regardless, we're going to assume you have and talk about why some directs and managers think wrongly that the Manager Tools feedback model is nitpicking.
Yeah, probably the biggest problem that managers have, separate from the Manager Tools feedback model, when it comes to feedback, is waiting too long. And part of the problem with our feedback model is, in the minds of many managers, is that my definition of feedback is I have a case to be made against the direct. Why would I talk to him before I make my case? So many of us don't look forward to giving negative feedback. We delay, we temporize, and we feel that. We know that, guys. We know that's how you feel. We felt it too. I would suggest to you that if that's true for you, if you delay and you're uncomfortable and so on, please consider that your reticence, this is an aside about other recommendations we make, but please consider that your reticence to deliver the negative feedback will be significantly reduced once you start building better relationship with your directs. And the way to do that is use Manager Tools one-on-ones, MTO3s. Look, in addition to not looking forward to the moments of tension, right? Managers don't look forward to it when you're giving negative feedback. Managers add to the emotional desire to delay to avoid conflict with the belief that they should wait until they have more evidence. The idea here is reasonable. I mean, it all makes sense in theory, right? The idea is a direct is more likely to disagree with a manager if the manager only has one instance or maybe two instances of a particular mistake. So the idea being what, you know, gosh, you know, everybody's human kind of thing. There's no grace period here. You can't expect me to self-correct. You know, we're all human. So if you've had that happen to you and you're naturally a little bit wanting to avoid conflict, you're afraid of losing people. You know, this podcast is coming out in late 2018 or early 2019. Retention is an issue. We just talked to an HR person recently who said, yeah, I'm desperately trying to recruit. It's one of the best job markets ever. There's a lot of competition for people, and I'm trying to retain people so I don't get further behind on recruiting. So the manager basically waits until there's a pattern. Again, this way, the direct doesn't feel picked on, right, in the manager's mind. If there are several instances of a particular thematic behavior, it'll be clear to even the most jaded of people or the most sensitive of directs that this isn't a random issue. It's not a non-recurring problem. We simply have to address this. Before, there was a pattern of success or accomplishment or achieving objectives or getting your tasks done. And now suddenly there's a different pattern in one of the many strains or threads of one's performance.
Right. Now, we wouldn't want to get on our direct before it's an actual problem. I mean, they just made a mistake. I mean, we don't want to have to get on them about every mistake they ever make. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, I would say the normal behavior, and I don't mean normal for everyone, but I'm thinking pluralistically, the single most common behavior for managers today around feedback is to wait until there's a pattern of behaviors before they provide negative feedback. So directs have come to expect that the only time their boss is going to talk to them about ineffective performance is when a pattern is developed and there's a risk of the pattern continuing. So that's in the mind of the direct, okay? Unfortunately, that's the norm, but this avoidance slash waiting slash pattern mentality leads to conversations that when they occur have this overtone of seriousness and potentially larger implication a la the direct's career aspirations, relationship with their managers. And look, managers, we often make it worse. We add to that direct's feeling of risk and seriousness by having a longer conversation. I'm doing Joey air quotes here. In private, to get on the same page. When directs learn that virtually every time they get negative feedback, it's a serious conversation. This is the waiting, the avoidance, right? It's a serious conversation. Any feedback they're going to get becomes serious enough to cause them concern. For those of you who have been to the Effective Manager Conference, you've heard us talk about it. Part of the underlying principle behind the manager tools feedback model is a focus on the future. Because if the direct believes that you are addressing past behavior, that that's the point of the conversation, to talk about past behavior, they can't do anything about the past and they will defend it. And what happens is managers learn when they think they've done the right thing, directs are defensive. But this is actually just a series of small skirmishes in the relationship. The manager delayed. The manager had information that maybe they could have talked to the direct about earlier. Now when the manager's finally talking to the direct feels challenged and threatened and responds defensively. Now, what some directs say is I wasn't defensive, but the manager characterizes that way because if you defend yourself, the person to whom you're defending yourself will think of that as defensiveness. And then, of course, if you say to the direct in the conversation, well, don't be defensive. Now you've attacked their character as being weak or not strong, not competent, not willing to benefit from the guidance of, you know, negative feedback. And now we just have this vicious little spiral. It's terrible. If you don't understand and don't therefore use the manager tools feedback model, directs can respond to even things that you think of as polite, positive feedback the way they've learned to over the past. They defend themselves. They have some fear. They have some uncertainty. They have some doubt. They have some reduction of trust in their boss. And because directs have been cultured this way for quite a while, even if you use the manager tools feedback model, directs will respond. Remember, we've said it before, your relationship with your direct is influenced not in a trivial way by every single previous boss relationship they've ever had. If they've had a series of bad bosses, you have a deeper hole to climb out of. It doesn't matter that you think you shouldn't because you're a good person. It doesn't matter. Every relationship is different. This is why we say you don't relate to your team. You relate to each individual on your team. That's why we don't say you manage your team. We don't say manager tools doesn't recommend you talk about managing your team. You manage the individuals on your team. Yes, they're a team, but to some degree in name only. So what's happened here is a bad management practice, the delaying of giving feedback because of managers' own fears and the idea that we need evidence. Everybody complains about corporate lawyers saying you can't do stuff, but then the manager goes around collecting evidence. So we get these bad management practices. And then when you try something new, the combination of it being new when you first roll out the manager tools feedback model and the fact that it's different than what they're used to, but they're going to apply to their old mentality about what conversations about this meant, it's no surprise you get pushback. And so when managers say, well, my people are pushing back, what do you think? They're all pushovers? You think every time you say something, it's as if, you know, something dropped from the lips of God into, you know, willing supplicants. And they're just, I mean, these are adults and they're humans and they have the ability to disagree sometimes. That's why there's a Maguire hump to the Horseman curve. And the particular one that we're talking about here today is the accusation of nitpicking. Why are you giving me feedback, right? I missed one deadline. This isn't fair. I was only slightly over budget. Now, you say to yourself, wait, Manager Tools said if I started using the feedback model, you know, it would suddenly go better. We never said it would suddenly go better. What we said is, this is a better model, and assuming you've already done the work of starting to build your relationship, once your directs get over their natural knee-jerk, no offense, they have it, and you have it too, to new things done to you by people in power. Once they get over the knee-jerk and they start listening to it, and hopefully one of the things you'll do, I'll mention it again later, is you will brief them in advance so they know what's coming and you'll tell them why they don't need to be defensive, then gradually that problem will go away and now you won't have to wait and now there won't be tension on either side.
Hey, folks, just to be clear, like the fact that they're going to push back initially and maybe accuse you of being nitpicky, that's not the fault of the Managed Tools feedback model. That's your fault. You're the one that didn't give them any feedback in the past when they should have been getting it. So don't look at that. Look in the mirror. That's probably where the fault lies.
Yeah. When you're looking for the causes of the problem in your organization, look in increasingly larger concentric circles around your own desk.
I'm sorry if that was offensive, folks, but it's kind of true.
I'm not sorry. It's
offensive. Yeah, I know. Here.
Their inference is not my implication. We can also remember Horstman's middleman rule, right? Would you want your boss to delay giving you feedback until she had noticed several instances of a problem and then, quote, have a serious conversation, unquote, with you? Or would you rather her mention something politely and positively and be done with it?
Right. And have an opportunity to improve. Oh, my God. This is the part when I learned the feedback model was literally decades ago. That really hit me, was like, oh, of course I'd want to know. I want to know when I'm doing something wrong so I can fix it. Can you imagine having I can't imagine because I've had it. Like, boss says, Mike, you're not particularly personable and you're smart, but you tend to be overly aggressive. Well, how long has this been going on, boss? Oh, like for like 5 years. Like, oh, hey, has it impacted my future in this company? Yeah, well, slightly, you're good. So, but yeah, sure has. Oh, dude, thanks. Appreciate it. Would have liked to know that 5 years ago. Thank you.
Yeah. And then you go and you say, what were all those other guys doing? Well, they were avoiding conflict. And if you have a couple of threads in your performance that are weak or that sometimes trip you up, but you also have moments where you do good things for your boss will forgive the thread that they were working to come up with some evidence for when you hit a home run or a double or a triple. The problem with that is you still have the underlying problem and the organization, therefore your manager and you, aren't improving upon it. There's an interesting side note here in the back of my mind, sort of. Just to be clear, I love HR, good HR, but conventional HR thinking doesn't support the sooner and smaller, not larger and later approach of the Manager Tools feedback model. Because managers have been waiting for these patterns, these multiple evidences of a infraction, I've been waiting for this for so long, HR knows that directs are to some degree in trouble when they finally get to the point where feedback, which is really code for a serious conversation, has to occur. This is stupid. This is incredibly wrongheaded. It's grossly inefficient for the organization. It's wasteful. You might as well just be profligate with the massive bounty of human productivity. Let's wait. This person can't take it. You know, let's let them dig their own grave. And then we'll talk them out of getting out of the grave. And we'll be seen as helping them overcome a fatal flaw. It's ludicrous, okay? And HR has gone further and has taught managers that when you're giving feedback, we should allow the direct to explain why they did what they did. This leads, of course, to a defensive conversation. Now, look, here's why HR wants you to do that. The first reason is there's way too much talk among HR about, hey, everybody has a voice. Yeah, that's true. Everybody does have a voice, but not all voices are equal at your company. If HR says everybody's voice counts the same, you need to run from that HR person. That HR person doesn't understand the vertical hierarchy in your organization. It's true that organizations are much more efficient and much more effective if you have people who can feel free to share certain ideas at certain times in a truly open way. And there are ways to achieve that. But that doesn't mean that everyone should have a voice. Let's test that. Everyone should have a voice. That means when my boss is giving his performance review to my peer, if I don't like something in there, I should have a voice. And you say, well, no, that doesn't count. Yeah, you're right. And another place where it doesn't count is everyone should have a voice in what the manager thinks about somebody's performance. So therefore, the direct having a chance to defend themselves because they deserve a voice is grossly misleading. And a lot of the misleading things that happen in organizations today are the idea that organizations are essentially a simulacrum of society, that it is the same thing, that the same values hold true. We do want mercy and justice and compassion and kindness and so on, but organizations have their own set of rules that have been built up over time through organizational life and essentially organizational civilization, if you will, having been constructed. And so the idea that every time you ask a direct, you tell a direct they've made a mistake and you feel the need to give them the chance to respond is an inefficient and ineffective approach. First of all, I mentioned it makes your direct defensive. If you ask them why, they're going to defend what they did. They're going to say, well, I did it for this reason. They're going to answer your question. Okay. If you have one thing that they did and they have seven reasons why it's good, they're going to feel like they won the argument about the past. It actually helps them to tell you all the reasons they've done things good. And as I've said, surely it's been 50 times by now in the podcast over the years, as I've said before, if your direct is allowed to give reasons and the reasons are good, not only are you talking about the past, but you're essentially saying, as long as you have a good reason, then the mistake is okay. That's the message you send. Now, what some managers say is, no, Mark, I'm not doing that. I want to see if they don't understand something so that if they don't understand something, I can correct them. Well, guys, I'm sorry, but that creates an entirely different problem. Your job is not to correct your directs. If, in fact, something was so simple that they didn't know, then you can safely assume that they probably can figure out how to correct it on their own. The company doesn't want you solving problems at their level. And I can see, I know I'm going to get emails from people. Are you telling me we don't care about our people? Folks, just to be clear, if you send me that email, I'm going to read it on air and I'm going to name you. And I'm going to say, when I say that the organization doesn't want you solving problems at your direct level, and then you say to me, are you saying we shouldn't care about our people? I'm going to ask you if you're speaking the same language as me, because the words I said did not include caring for my people. It didn't. I'll never forget the time I was in HEB in Fredericksburg, Texas, and I saw someone in the grocery store, and both of my kids who were with me walked up and says, hello, Mrs. Johnson, let's say, it's nice to meet you, and shook the person's hand. But this person knew us fairly well. And she said, you know, you have the nicest behaved kids in town. I said, well, thank you. And she says, but you're so hard on them. And I said, I don't understand the but. That's why they're well behaved, because I'm hard on them. I mean, everything I read about parenting says love and discipline, love and discipline, love and discipline. So when the manager chooses not to allow the direct to, quote, have a voice, unquote, the manager is not being rude or disrespectful. The manager is acting within reasonable confines. By the concept of everyone should have a voice, I mean, I beat that horse to death. But if you ask the person why, they will defend what they did. And ask yourself a simple question. Anybody listening to the show made a mistake in the last month? Of course you have. Everybody raise your hand unless you're driving. Now, did you intentionally set out to screw something up? No, you didn't. So, in other words, you had good reasons, but you still screwed up. The question I would then ask is, as long as everybody has good reasons, is it okay if they screw up? No. There is no model of feedback that is going to be highly effective and sensitive to how organizations run effectively, not how people think they should run or the way things are behaving now, but there's no feedback model that isn't about the future and that essentially doesn't encourage the direct to defend what they were doing.
Well, I think that's part of the challenge people have in accepting this, is that in their head, when they hear feedback, regardless of what we say, they still hear in your voice, the person giving feedback, anger, disappointment, an ass chewing, whatever. And folks, when we talk about the feedback model, that's not what it sounds like, right? When we say it's encouraging, it's encouraging. It's with a chuckle. It's with a smile. There is nothing punishing about negative feedback. And you just got to hear me on this. You got to get that out of your head. Otherwise, you'll never accept this.
Exactly. So in our experience, if you allow your directs to, quote, feel heard by revisiting the past, they feel both vindicated and they also, by the way, still feel in trouble, which, by the way, is a toxic sort of brew. HR has told directs, no offense, I don't mean to pick on HR too much. I'm talking to managers now and trying to give you a sense of the political landscape around the changes. Because you may be thinking, hey, this is a great model. I'm going to use this. I really like it. I would like it if my boss did it to me. That's a la the Delta file. That's the opposite of the Delta file. And if you don't know what the Delta file is, there's a podcast for that, guys. I would like it if my boss did this to me, if he had a better relationship with me and he told me what he was going to do in advance. And then he was brief and positive in his interactions. But then I try it and my directs don't like it. When I go to HR, HR doesn't like it. And you say to yourself, maybe I shouldn't be doing this. And if you're a new manager and you've done that, we respect that. We understand that. And it's too bad that there was no support for you inside the organization, which is sometimes why we tell people, if you don't think your organization will support it, don't make a big deal out of it. Don't tell people what you're doing. And if you think that's illicit in some way, don't worry about that, because the organization is not insisting that you manage any particular way other than perhaps annual reviews and expense reporting and so on. So they don't really know what you're doing. They don't want to know what you're doing. If they wanted to know what you're doing, they'd have you report about it. So don't advertise what you're doing. Up until now, I've been talking about HR and managers, but HR has actually told directs that if the direct is in a delayed conversation about a pattern, that they need to defend themselves. That's because it is serious and because they ought to be heard and because they had good reasons. So, not good. All of this is, again, built around the ineffective model of waiting / gathering evidence. When you change your behavior and you go smaller and sooner and not larger and later, HR still thinks directs ought to be heard. Other people think that too, but regardless, they're wrong. It's inefficient, it's ineffective, and it disregards the important trusting relationships that manager tools managers have already built.
Yeah, agreed. So folks, that I think we've established why you shouldn't worry about nitpicking. We've also established why you probably, likely might get the feedback from, you know, pushback from your directs about nitpicking. So if we're the normal manager, the usual manager who implements the feedback model, we're subject to this kind of feedback from our directs, not using the feedback model. Obviously, this pushback, how do we respond to them when we get it, right? That's probably the most important thing in this cast.
Yeah, responding is really pretty easy when you're committed to giving feedback that, again, is sooner, smaller and sooner, not larger and later. Here are some things you can do. Number one, folks remember over and over and over again. It's a rule, a managerial rule. Brief your people first. Never introduce a change to how you manage people without first introducing that change to your people. Explain to them in advance why you're going to give smaller and sooner feedback. I'm constantly amazed at the number of people who say, won't that seem weird? I said, what world are you living in that people visit new changes on you and don't tell you it's coming? I don't understand that. Next, be brief and polite in your feedback. Eliminate any tone of seriousness or formality from a feedback moment when if it's negative. Don't bring them into your office. Don't schedule 20 minutes to have a discussion. Don't sit behind your desk to send a message of rule power. That said, I have nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with sitting behind your desk when you give feedback. Just don't do it to act as if you're sending a message. Okay? The person who is the boss doesn't have to show off that they are the boss. Good feedback, guys, only takes 20 seconds, positive or negative. At the very most, if you're taking longer than that, you're adding more words that make it harder for your direct to understand, not easier. Something else, you can use our shot across the bow guidance. When directs push back, generally, and I don't mean just with nitpicking, but any concern, walk away, figuratively speaking, from the conversation. Don't argue with your directs about the past. Tell them it's not a big deal. Tell them all is forgiven and live to fight another day. Because they're going to go away and realize, maybe there was something I could do better there.
Yeah, and folks, go listen to the podcast about Shot Across the Bow to understand that more fully. And there is a podcast, believe it or not.
Yeah, exactly. Practice forgiveness before giving feedback. I had to put this down as something you can do, not something you can say. Look, there's nothing about work behaviors, even failures, that is unforgivable. Otherwise, we'd all be unforgiven, right? There are a very few behaviors that are unforgivable at work, a very few of them, but those don't warrant feedback. They warrant immediate termination. If you can't forgive a direct of yours on something they did, unless they murdered someone in your family, that's really a reflection on your emotional state and your lack of ability to let go. So get yourself in the right frame of mind before you deliver feedback. As Mike just said a minute or two ago, if I can't chuckle when I'm giving feedback, I don't give it. By the way, chuckling takes away the negative of this is punishment somehow, but it also gives a sense to the direct of the lack of importance and therefore the lack of need to push back. Also, smile when you deliver negative feedback.
Hey, how can you not smile when you're talking about a great future, right? That's what you're talking about. How can you be encouraging with a scowl on your face?
That's exactly right. I think my evidence suggests that people aren't talking about the future. They're bringing up the past. Guys, remember when you're using the manager tools feedback model, you're giving more positive feedback sooner and smaller. You're not waiting. In other words, even though you push back, you're going to get on the feedback model is more likely to be negative. You're also giving positive feedback sooner and smaller as well. You're not waiting until your direct has a big win before specifically pointing out what they're doing well. You don't need a pattern of effectiveness before noting that they did something well. You want to note it early to reinforce the right behaviors. Something else you can do, manager tools one-on-ones. Schedule it, have it weekly, let your direct go first, no more than 30 minutes, take notes. Not hard. Okay, what about things you can say in the moment? People always tell me on the road, Mark, I love it when you give me the words to say. So one of your directs pushed his back, says, oh, you're nitpicking me. And you say, here's what you say. I'm sorry, I didn't mean it for it to come across that way. I noticed something, and I thought you'd want to know. Okay. Or here's another one. Sorry, I get it. I never liked it when my boss would wait and then have a conversation with me about a serious issue. I'm doing air quotes there. Joey air quotes. About which there's a problem. I'd figure you'd rather know sooner and smaller, not larger and later. Another one. Dude, this isn't a big deal. I'm not like other bosses who hold any mistakes against you. Slate's wiped clean in my mind. Tomorrow's a new day. Let's kill it. Okay? Or you could also just say, My experience, dude, sooner and smaller is better. Key word there is smaller. This is not anything to get exercised about. Another one. Hey, you know what? Let's talk about the model, feedback model, and nitpicking in our next one-on-one. I'm happy to discuss with you. Then this is just a misunderstanding. We'll get by this. Don't worry about it. Simple, short. You don't need a 5-minute explication of all the reasons why. You don't need them to have to listen to this podcast in the moment in order to get past that moment of tension. So look, I'm going to summarize. I know we've gone on a good long while. Guys, whenever you change how you interact with your team members, there are going to be those who react to the change with discomfort rather than seeing the possibility for potential improvement. Lots of us are more comfortable with how things are and how things have been. And in fact, by basically half the world, and then thinks the discomfort of change usually outweighs potential performance improvements when someone else is delivering the message. And basically, part of your job as a manager is to be a leader, and that means showing the way over that Maguire hump of the horseman curve to the better results that come from doing things a little bit differently, incrementally.
Awesome, dude. I enjoyed it. It's an important topic.
Feedback is not nitpicky.
Yeah, it's awesome. Guys, just get over it. Do it.
Yeah.
You'll thank us later. Believe me. And go to the website and look at all the testimonials and maybe let that convince you to go ahead and take the plunge, the feedback plunge. Thanks, dude.
Thanks, partner.
Results, retention, relationships, and communications. Words in the manager tools wheelhouse. With an audience that slants almost 70% technical, smart, and process-oriented, we teach managerial behaviors that are critical to achieving results, retaining the right people. It's all about relationships and communications. And we realize for a good majority of our listeners that that may not come naturally. It's not hard. It just is. And the data prove it. Learn from our pre-podcast or our printed material with Roadmap Access and a public training conference or on-site client training. We have a solution for you, your team, or your organization.
That's it, everybody. Hope you enjoyed it. Come back next week. See you then.